So what we're going to discuss this morning is the challenging of learning to trust God. If I can get this first slide up. A few weeks ago, Captain Louise was talking about faith and was talking about a story about a man named Blondin. Blondin was a famous tightrope walker who walked across a tightrope that was stretched above Niagara Falls. And he would walk across on stilts. He walked across and he cooked an omelette halfway across, then ate it. He went and got a wheelbarrow, he wheeled it across, and he came back with a sack of potatoes. In 1860, the royal family went and saw him do this. And after he had gone across a number of times doing different things, he approached the royal family and he asked the Duke, "Do you believe I can take a man across on this?" The Duke said, "Yes, I believe you could." So he said, "Hop in." To which the Duke kindly declined. Although the Duke believed and had faith that he could do it, he didn't trust him. He didn't trust his life to Blondin. That kind of faith and that kind of trust is no good to God. He wants us to trust him with our lives, because that makes us vulnerable. We need to be vulnerable before God. He wants us to be completely dependent upon him, much like a newborn baby is completely dependent upon its parents for everything it needs. That's what God's looking for. Often when we think we can do it by ourselves, we fall into the problem that there's two problems with doing things by ourselves. One, our strength is limited. We will run out of energy, we will run out of strength, and even sheer will can only go so far. But despite that, doing things in our own strength shows God in our actions that we are being independent and rebellious. We are created for God, to serve him, to worship him, to follow his path. And when we don't trust God for that path, then we are trying to do things on our own. And we are being, in a sense, rebellious towards God. Let's have a look at what the Bible says about trust. In Jeremiah 17:7, it says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and has made the Lord his hope and confidence." It's not just about, trust is a hard thing for anyone to describe. It's a fragile thing. It can easily be broken, and if it's broken, it's very hard to win back. But trust is about hope, it's about confidence, about being sure of something, that God knows what he's doing. If we look at the next reading, Psalm verse 9:10, "And those who know your name put their trust in you, for you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you." There's one thing we can be assured of, that if we ask God, he will not fail us. Does it mean that he answers every prayer? Yes, just not always the way that we think he will. And surprisingly, sometimes his answer is no. Because he sees the big picture. We only ever see the small picture, but he sees the big picture. He knows what will and won't benefit us. And even things that we think are good are not necessarily a benefit to us. Trust is more than thinking, then you can trust God. Trust is a doing word. It's an active will that is continuous, and it's not just a one-off thing. It's not just, oh, I trust God today, but tomorrow, well, I trusted God yesterday, so that continues on. No, it's a choice. It's much like love. It's a choice you have to make continuously to trust God. Trust is believing that God can take care of your needs and your life, no matter what the issue or problem. But the biggest issue with trust is that we must trust God for everything, not just a few things. We might say we trust God to take care of our relationships, and yet we don't trust God with our finances. It makes sense to trust God for all our needs, because life can present situations where we can see no end or no way out, and we become very desperate. So it makes sense to trust in the one who knows the way. Life can be like a minefield, but God knows the way through. And often it seems that if we choose not to follow his path, sometimes it seems like we step on one of those mines and we get into a situation which is completely disastrous. In Luke chapter 18, verse 27, Jesus said, "What is impossible for man is possible with God." I know of someone who got into a situation where they owed money, too much money to the bank, and they were at the point of receiving letters telling them that the bank was going to take legal action and was going to take their house and was telling them to surrender their keys. They could see no way out. They didn't have the money. They couldn't borrow the money. They had that their financial credit was spotty. And they couldn't see a way out. And they were stressed, as you can probably understand. And what choice did they have but to pray and trust God that he had a plan? Even in the midst of that dark time, he had a plan. And they found that in the middle of that, God gave them peace and said, "Trust in me. There is a way out." Now, although it went on for weeks and they kept receiving letters from the bank and there was still no answer, in the 11th hour, as God always does, because God is never late, he's only ever on time, his perfect time, they were speaking to the pastor in their church about the situation. And two people stepped forward and offered money to cover the debt that they owed. It wasn't a big debt. But those two people were willing to step forward and put up the money so that they didn't lose their home. That was God's way out. And the peace they felt, they now understood what God meant. The problem is that with us especially, as we see with the Israelites, even when God does something, we often forget the blessings that he's already bestowed upon us. Even when he's proved that he can take care of us and he will provide a way out, we often forget. We get worried and stressed. Sometimes it's good for us to say out loud and remember. There's actually a Jewish tradition of reverence to actually remind God of what he's already done for us. Because in that way you show honour to God by saying, "I remember that you helped me out in this situation," or "you provided that need for me." And that way we actually honour God and show reverence that we remember what he has done. There is no situation that God cannot sort out, but we must trust him with it. And trust him with it means that we must give it to him. We must lay it at the foot of the cross. We mustn't take it up again, though, because often we can put it down at the foot of the cross, but because of our stress and worry, we just take it straight back up. Now, we must be willing to leave it there. The person who was about to lose their house, they got to a point that they had to make a decision. Were they willing to follow God all the way, or only part of the way? So they made a decision. They said, "God, if you want to take it all, then I submit. It's your house. Everything I have is yours. If you wish to take it, then take it." When they made that submission, it was right after that that God provided a way out. We must not hang on to that which is not ours. Everything that God has given us is a gift from him. no matter whether we have received it because it's something that we've done, it's still provided by God. Now God, in any situation, God cannot act until we ask. God doesn't intervene in situations, for the most part, God doesn't intervene in situations until we actually ask Him. Because that's the way He set up the rules. He said, ask and you'll receive. We can't expect God to just take care of everything because that makes us spoiled. Makes us act like a spoiled brat. And God doesn't want that. He wants us to ask. He wants us to have this relationship where we are dependent upon Him and we admit that we need His help. We have to admit our weakness and show our humility. We can't be too proud to ask for help. If you have trouble trusting God, if you don't trust God, now is the time. However, it will not be easy. I heard someone say to me once, be careful what you pray for, because you might just get it. And the truth is, I didn't understand what they meant in that time. I always remembered what they said, but I didn't understand it. Until later on. One of the scariest prayers you can pray is, God, teach me to trust you. Because trust is not something that is instantly granted. It has to be taught. And any lesson takes time to teach. God will take you, if you pray this prayer, God will take you to situations where you will be at the end of your understanding, the end of your wit. And you'll be able to see no way out. And the point of God putting you there is that you have no choice but to trust God. And that is how you learn to trust God, because he shows you how to do it. Because you've got no other choice. It's about believing that God will make a way. It's about going against everything that is in your head and having faith. Faith to believe. But to grow faith, to build trust, requires stretching. Requires situations that go way beyond our understanding. Faith is a big part of learning to trust. In fact, faith and trust go hand in hand. You can have faith, but not trust. Much like the Duke had faith in London, but didn't trust him. But it's impossible to have trust without faith. So what does it mean to fully trust God? It's like what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:7. We live by faith and not by sight. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain on what we do not see. In the New Living Translation Bible, it puts it this way. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us an assurance about things we cannot see. So by that understanding, the old cliche, seeing is believing, is false. When it comes to faith, believing is seeing. I mean, look at the story of Abraham. He was asked by God to go and sacrifice his only son, the very son that he had taught, you know, stressed over so much that he would never have a son. And God gave him a son, and then God turns around and says, I want you to sacrifice him. And in his obedience, in his trust that God knew what he was doing, he took Isaac and he placed him on the altar. And he was willing to trust God the whole way, right up to the point where he had a knife just above his son. And God said, stop. And provided a ram. Because Abraham trusted him, God provided. God made a way out. God's plan was shown in full. He could have hesitated. He could have begged God to spare his son. And yet he took Isaac without doubting. Because of this, God credited to him as righteousness. Now, I have two posters I want to put up. Every problem is an opportunity to trust God. And the second one, which is my favourite, when life gets sour, trust in God. Things will get better. Now, these are great. And when time's good, they're funny. But these kinds of catchphrases are not that helpful when we're actually going through times of trial. We can find them quite a cliche and almost mocking us. When we go through a time of trial, it's much better and helpful if we rely on Scripture and God's Word, because it's living and it can transform us. When we trust God, He can improve our lives and He can direct them in the paths that He has known is the best for us. We too commonly see only the small picture. You know, if life is a tapestry, we only see the stitches that have been done now. But God sees the entire tapestry. And yes, He even sees all the knots and the mistakes. But He sees the picture as a whole. He knows what's coming and He knows the best path for you. In Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a future and a hope." God wants to give His children good things. That's His desire. He wants to give us a future that we can be satisfied by, that we can enjoy. But it requires that we trust Him. The main reason we should trust God is because the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 5:7, "Give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares about you." God doesn't just care for you, He cares about you. You can have someone who cares for someone, but their heart's not in them. Sure, they provide all their needs, but it's more a job than something they've actually got their heart in. But God has His heart in it. He cares about us. He cares about all those little things that happen to us. He cares about what we're going through. God has plans for us. And if we will just trust Him and allow Him to take control, we'll be better off. Now, our lives may not be all smiles and roses. And there's going to be valleys and mountains. But in the end, if we allow God to lead our lives, we'll find a joyous and satisfying, meaningful life. When we trust in God, it fills us with hope. Without God, as the world tries to go through their lives, they use sheer will. They use their strength, but they have no hope. When they run out of strength, when they run out of their will, they're desperate. They end up in despair. And they can't deal with it because they're hopeless. There's no hope beyond themselves. God wants to do great things with us, with our lives. But we must submit to Him. We must trust Him with the good times and the bad. We must thank Him for both good and bad. We can't just always go to God when things are bad and go, "Help me, help me." You must also, when things are good, go, "Thank you. Thank you for giving me this." It's about a relationship. It's about not treating God like Santa Claus or a vending machine, but truly having an intimate relationship. And we're not going to understand why everything happens to us and why things go wrong. I mean, the truth is, bad things happen to good people. just because we're Christians or we believe in God does not excuse us from bad things. The world is, you know, what happens in the world is no respect for a person, happens to the righteous and the unrighteous. The Bible tells us so. But the truth is, God may allow things in His wisdom and His knowledge. He may allow these bad things to happen to us because they will bring about good things. Because He knows that there are certain things in our lives that will build the character that we need in our lives to follow and trust in God. In Philippians 1:6, it says, being confident of this, then He who began a good work in you will carry it on to the day of completion, until the day in Christ Jesus. A well-known verse, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, tells us to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lead not on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge Him. He will make your path straight. One of the verses I don't have up here is Psalm 23, which is, well known throughout the world. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me in paths of righteousness. He leads me beside the still waters. You know, if we end up in beside rushing waters in our lives, He didn't lead us there. We've stepped off His path. So we need to trust God, and whether we understand what's going on or not. It says in Romans 8:28, and we know this, that God uses all things or everything to work together for the good of those who love God and called according to His purpose. Not just about loving God, but it's about trusting Him. It's about submitting our lives to Him. Sometimes we get people who say, God, if you really cared, you wouldn't let this happen to me. But it's a fact, because He cares, that sometimes He does. The Bible says that because He loves us, sometimes He has to chastise us. The truth is that we can, you know, a lot of people blame God for things that happen in our lives, but trust me, we are more than capable of getting to a mess without God's help. If anyone knows that, it would be me. So, in conclusion to this, I'd just like to say that the main core of trust is about faith. It's about building faith, about building a relationship with God, where He is part of everything in your life, whether it's work, whether it's hobbies, He's part of everything. And that if there is something good, that your first reaction is to pray and thank God. There's something bad, and your first reaction is to pray and seek God. That we ask Him, that we are completely and utterly dependent upon Him for everything. And that when we cannot see a way, we will put our hope and trust in Him. That He knows the way out, but we must wait for Him to provide it. We're just going to listen to a song that more or less sums up what I'm talking about. The reason I played that song is that that's more or less the gist of the sermon, is that God has a plan and He wants us to trust Him. He wants us to seek Him, to follow His path. And even when we sway from that, He never leaves us, He never forsakes us, He's always there. So we can be sure that He who began a good work in us will complete it. How quickly that happens is sometimes up to us. But I encourage all of you to seek God, to seek His will in your life, and to be willing to be vulnerable, to be used as a tool and instrument for Him in your life. Dear Lord, I just pray that Your word will have gotten into our hearts today, Lord, that I have gotten across what You wanted to say, Lord, and that all of us can just think about what has been said, that if there's things that You want to say to us, that You can, to remind us in our hearts, that You will help all of us to trust You, to learn how to trust You. In Jesus' name, Amen.